Thank you, April and Helen.
Amen.
Well, amen is right. I'd ask you this morning to turn to your Bibles to page 64 for our Old Testament reading. We're going to be reading Exodus 17, 1 through 17. Page 64, Exodus 17, 1 through 17. Now, this is called Water from the Rock. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because of the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Our second reading is our epistle reading, and this comes from Romans 5, 1 through 11, and this found on page 155. Romans 5, 1 through 11, results of justification. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our own hope, in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because Christ, God's love, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For it, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast to God, in God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Have any of you ever been called a character? Well, we now have the scripture that tells us why you're called a character. No, actually, it says it builds character. So we look no farther than ourselves. But, you know, as Paul continues here, he's building on his conversation with the church at Rome, which he didn't found, but he's had communication with them, as had some correspondence and is addressing some issues that that church had vis-a-vis the Judaic feeling that it's by law. And we know in Romans 4, last week, we were talking about it's by faith and faith alone that we have salvation. So Paul builds his argument, say, though it's not really an argument, he's providing them with information in a way that, you know, they have an opinion and he's providing the counter to it, kind of letting them know how it really works. And so as he continues, but through the book of Romans, he builds on each step. So from Romans 3, Romans 4, justification by faith, faith alone, not by works, faith, faith alone, not by works, not by anything that you or I have done. Now we get to Romans chapter 5, which some refer to as probably the best of Romans, the best of all of Paul's writing, because it speaks to me, and it speaks to you. There's nobody in this room that this does not speak to. So he's continuing the discussion. He says, therefore, since we are justified by faith, the argument's already been accepted in chapter 4. We already understand that. So we're justified by faith, not because of what we've done. It's because of what Christ did on that cross that we are saved. Got it? And justified is made right-wise. In other words, in a right relationship with God, not by anything that we did. Not by merit. But because of that, here's the beauty. Paul says, therefore, since we have we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast. I'll get into that one a little bit later, but let's work with the first two here. Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is peace? See, the concept, you know, Tolstoy wrote War and Peace. For Russia, war and peace, peace was the absence of war in that regard. But the word that's used here is shalom, which is not the absence of anger or animosity or warfare, but it's a real peace. And it's a peace that we get through the grace and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the peace that passes all understanding. It's the peace that Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, verse 27, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, but as God gives. He's telling us that this peace is not the absence of conflict, but it is truly being at peace, being at rest, being comfortable, being certain and sure that we are in a right relationship with God the Creator. There's no longer this enmity. There's no longer this concern or doubt or despair. Keep this in mind. No more doubt and despair, because Jesus Christ came to dispel darkness, dispel death, to dispel despair. Now, that's not to say that people aren't going to go through despair, because that happens. There are bad things that are going to happen to good people and good things are going to happen to bad people. And I know that doesn't seem logical, but it happens. That's life. But through Jesus Christ, not only do we have this peace from God through Jesus Christ, but we've also obtained access to the grace. What's grace? Love, mercy. It's something that we didn't earn, couldn't earn, can't repay. It's a gift freely given. It's unmerited. You didn't earn it. God gave it, and God keeps giving it. And how much grace is there out there? There's grace that abounds for over and above everything else in the world. And all the created order, if you want to get into the galaxies and the universe and who knows what else. But through Him we've obtained access to this grace in which we stand. The words here says, and we boast in our hope of sharing in the glory of the God. Now, one of the other translations says, or rejoice. It's not boast. Look at me, how self-righteous I am. But, oh, I can rejoice. Hallelujah. That song that was just sung, that anthem, how beautiful. That was so beautiful on so many different levels. For the people of this church to see those two up there singing that song, to hear those people singing that song, that is how beautiful. But even more so than that is the words that are there. How beautiful is what? The words we're talking about, this peace, this right relationship with God. And we rejoice in this in the hope of sharing the glory of God. You know, none of us knows what it really is. None of us can even conceive what the real true glory of God is. And none of us are really going to know until we get there. And when we get there, it won't matter because we'll be in the glory of God. Well, gee, tell me what that's like. Got to wait until you see it. I can't tell you. You got to see it to believe it. It's like the Grand Canyon. The first time you've ever seen the Grand Canyon. People can tell you. They can send you photographs. You can see video cameras. You can. I had a line for Vaughn. Vaughn could go and take a video of it and bring it in here and show it to us. But when you go there and see it, the vistas and the colors, the Badlands in South Dakota, you're crossing the plains, and when you see a sunrise and a sunset, the strata has, the sandstone, the rock, all of that has been cut by ages of water and wind, and when the sun hits it, each one of those different levels of rock has a different reflected color, and it is beyond definition. Well, that's real small compared to the glory of God. But this, we have a hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, now here's the piece that lets us know that, you know, in spite of everything else, God is with us. Okay? And there should be hope that we'll see the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast or rejoice. Imagine that. Rejoice in our sufferings. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit and has been given to us. You know what? It was given to us. We didn't earn it. This is the hope that's poured into us. And how did we get it? Now, sometimes there's suffering? Absolutely. There's joy, there's celebration, but there's suffering. It's called life itself. It's the struggle. It's the ability to endure. And just like a muscle that's made stronger by strengthening and endurance training. I told the people last night, the first marathon I ran. Yeah, right. You don't believe I ran a marathon. That was a few years ago. But you don't run a marathon. I tried it once. You don't run a marathon just by getting out there and going and running. I don't care how good a shape you're in. I thought I was in pretty good shape. That first marathon almost killed me. But the next time you're a little more wise and you realize you've got to build up your endurance. You've got to run the miles. You've got to do the training to be able to run that race. Even if you want to walk part of it, it's still 26.2 miles. And down in Virginia Beach, it can be cold in March. But endurance produces character. Endurance produces character. And character produces what? Hope. What is hope? Faith is the hope for things not yet seen. And hope is what? Hope is, it doesn't disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is the hope of sharing the glory of God. So point one is we have peace through Jesus Christ, through whom we've obtained access to the glory of God, to know that. Point two is we're going to have sufferings which produce endurance, which produce character, which produces hope. And that's not going to disappoint us because God's love has been poured out. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world that by him they would be saved and not condemned. We hear time and time again that God is a God of love. Absolutely. But there's a portion of us that think that's all it is. It's just love, 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 in spite of what we do. No matter what we do, there's no way we can go outside the love of God. In almost each of those, there's a condition. It's a conditional love. We've got to be obedient. Yeah, He loves us, but we're supposed to be responding with obedience. We're supposed to be responding. And granted, there are times when we don't. We stray. But we need to come back in. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. These second and third points really bring us to the table. You've heard that phrase before, bring us to the table. Well, the table I'm talking to you about is the table of forgiveness. The table I'm talking to you about is a table of remembrance. The table I'm talking to you about is the table of communion, where we're invited, encouraged to come to that table. And when we say that even though God loves us, that even though we were sinners, even while we were sinners, that's proof of God's love towards us, that He did this for us, even before we were born. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by His love, we'll be by His blood, the communion, His body given, His blood shed, we have that. Much more surely then, now that we've been justified by His blood, we will be saved through Him from the wrath of God. Think about this. Everything that we have is through God. We have sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. We know the wages of sin is what? Wages of sin is death. But because of grace, because of God giving His Son, we have Jesus Christ as the full payment for our sin. We're made rightwise. We're justified through Christ with God. We're reconciled. One of the words that's used in reconciliation is called atonement. Well, if you write down atonement, A-T-O-N-E-M-E-N-T, guess what? It says at-one-ment. We're made at one with God. He reconciles us. In atonement, we're made at one with Him. In other words, we're no longer separated. We're no longer in enmity. We're no longer suffering the wages of sin, which is death. We're enjoying what? That hope for the glory of God. Why? Through Jesus Christ. We have justification through Jesus Christ. We have reconciliation through Jesus Christ. Reconciliation with God. Not because of anything that we've done, but what God has done through grace, through Jesus Christ, through His love, His grace, His mercy. And in communion, we celebrate that God's love generated grace, which brought Christ, which brings redemption. Brings us back in reconciliation. You know, you and I are the children that our parents loved in spite of our flaws, in spite of our unruliness, in spite of our stubbornness, in spite of our running in the opposite direction that they told us to run. That's never happened, right? Allison, you've never done that. You've been perfect. Now, if Vaughn were here, we could... But through Jesus Christ, this body of unruly children is reconciled to God the Father. Not because of anything that we did. It's because of God's love for us. He's always ready for us to come back. It's the prodigal son story, all in one, where the son has taken his inheritance and spent it poorly. And he realizes when he's eating slop in this country far away, how much better it would be even as a servant in his father's house. And what does he do? He swallows his pride and he goes back home. And you know what? The beauty is, while he's a long way off, the father sees him. And what does the father do? Boy, I can just hardly wait till he comes in here. Boy, am I going to give him what's for then. No. What does the father do? He runs out to meet the son. He takes his ring off, gives it to his son, takes him in, tells him to slay the fatted calf. They're going to have a what? Celebration. Why? Because the one that has been lost has been returned. Think about how God celebrates, because even though we've had sufferings, even though we've had to build this endurance, even though the character that was produced was maybe not the best character that people, well, you know, character's character, but it builds character, which is maybe a person that we weren't before we had the suffering, which built the endurance and brings us to that character that produces a hope. Because when that son realized how far he'd gone from the father and realized he'd be better as a slave in his father's household, his hope is that his father will accept him when he comes back. So when he comes back, he's ready to grovel. He's ready to do whatever. He's ready to go out and work for his dad and doing whatever. And what does he receive? God's love poured into the hearts through the Holy Spirit is given him, just as it's given us. So the first point is, it's through Jesus Christ that we can have peace, that we can have this knowledge, this wisdom, this understanding, this faith and hope that Jesus Christ has done all for us. And in spite of the sufferings, which are going to build endurance, which are going to produce character, we're going to have that hope. That doesn't disappoint us because God has poured into our hearts the Holy Spirit. But we know this. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through death of His Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life. Romans 8:28 tells us what? Romans 8:28. God works good to those who love the Lord. But rather than being killed, why? Because his brothers were jealous. Joseph goes, has an experience with Potiphar's wife and all of those bad things. About what happens? God was with Joseph in spite of all the things that happened to him in the world. And at that moment, when there was famine, and the only place where there was food was Egypt, Joseph's family came to Egypt and had food. They had planned ill for Joseph. God worked it to the salvation of all his brothers and his family. God is working all things to the good of those who love the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be sufferings. It doesn't mean there's not going to be travails. But it does tell us that we've been reconciled. We're put in a place of at-one-ment, atonement for us. And it's not our at-one-ment or our atonement. It's Christ's atonement for our sin. Verse 11, but more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Sufferings, endurance, character and hope. And hope does not disappoint, because just as Paul said in chapter 4, it's by faith alone that we're saved. In spite of all the things that happen to us, it's faith that we can have in Christ Jesus, in spite of the sufferings. Because that's going to build what God wants us to be. Shalom.